Our Voice, proudly supported and funded by Northumbria Police and Crime Commissioner.
Welcome to a new episode of Our Voice, an opportunity for young LGBTQIA plus people to have their say. With each episode, we'll be posing a question to our panel and asking for their thoughts. And we're really keen to hear what it means to be an LGBTQIA plus person in 2024 right now, particularly if they are under 18. So before we start, let's meet our panel. They're going to introduce themselves, give us their pronouns if they'd like to share them, and most importantly, how old they are. So Amber.
Hi, I'm Amber, I use she, they, and I'm 14 years old.
Q.
Hi, I'm Arizona, I use she, her pronouns, I'm 16.
Hi, I'm Raven, I use they, them, and I'm 16.
Fabulous. Welcome, everybody. So this episode is all about getting political. I know it's quite the interesting subject. We were just discussing before we hit record, and everyone had a lot of opinions and a lot of things to say for this episode. So I'm very, very excited to hear what your thoughts are. As young people, you are starting to enter into the world of politics. You're starting to get the opportunity to have your say. It may be a few years until you actually get to go to the ballot box, although it depends on which political party ends up winning the forthcoming general election. As we're recording this, we're about 2 weeks away from the general election. So it's amazing that you've already started forming opinions now, and you've already started to kind of decide how your opinions start to align. So the big question for this episode is, if you were Prime Minister, say you've won the general election, what would be the first thing you would do as a young LGBTQIA plus person? And we'll go to Amber first.
I would change the price of the Freddos, my dears. Honestly, I walk in a corner shop now, and it used to be 10 pence, now they're like 35.
No, I think they're like 1.25 in some
other
places.
Yeah. 35 where I live?
Oh.
Anyway, that's horrible.
Where I live.
I think, on a serious note about the Freddos, all the prices are increasing because of, you know, just the increase in the cost of living and stuff. And all the prices of housing and food and all that is increasing, but the job prices aren't increasing. And I think, you know, I'm 16, I'll be out soon into the real world. And I think my biggest worry is I'm going to be out, you know, I'll be turning 18 next year. 17 this year, and then I'll be looking for houses, and I'll struggle, I think.
So yeah, we had a bit of a joke there at the start about the price of Freddos, and that is always the thing, isn't it? It's just like you go into a shop and you're like, how much? I don't remember them ever being that expensive. But it all starts to kind of become very real when you do start, like you say, start looking for somewhere to live, whether that's renting, whether that's buying. As an LGBTQIA plus person as well, you know, there are people that maybe aren't very comfortable at home. They maybe don't have very understanding parents. They don't feel safe at home. So as soon as they can, they maybe want to get out and find their own space. But there's a potential that they're not going to be able to afford to do that. So is that worrying as young people?
Yeah, definitely, because
that is worrying.
I think, like, I've got a friend, I'm not going to give the name of the person, but I've got a friend who does live in quite a strict household, and they're struggling, you know, to cope with that. And they've been on the lookout for housing, you know, they're 17, nearly turning 18, and they're looking all over, and it is a struggle because, you know, a lot of jobs as well aren't, you know, accepting people as much anymore. They're more stricter on what they want. And it's just really a massive, like, issue of safety for the LGBT youth who are in those stricter households.
And Arizona, what laws would you introduce if you were to become Prime Minister?
There's about three that I could probably do straight away. Probably equal pay, because the pay gaps between men and women are still extremely, like, a large margin, and that's not very fair, especially if you do identify as a trans man or a trans woman, because you will still be put into the category of man and woman because that's your sex, that's on, like, your CV. And that's not fair. And then Equal Rights Act for each subcategory, because I know there's one that's just general, but I feel like it should be broken down into gender, sexuality, race and religion, because it just makes people more seen and heard by the government. Because at the minute, I think everybody's just being all squished into one when it's separate subcategories that have separate issues. And also free school slash like work meals, because I know it's like up to 7 you can get free meals, but everyone of all ages needs to eat at least one good nutritional meal a day, no matter the financial situation. And if you know you're providing that at a place of work or a place of education, that's good for that young person or that adult that may be struggling and not want to like reach out for help.
I feel like I've just heard Arizona's party political broadcast there. That was fantastic. Three like very clear things that you've identified as things that, you know, need to change. And has that come from like personal experience? Have you kind of, you know, have you felt that this is something that I've experienced, so therefore I want to change it? So is this just something that you've seen happening in society that you're like, this is wrong, I want to fix this?
I've seen it around the environment, the people that I talk to and interact with on a daily basis, and even random strangers on the street. You can see them being affected by this, and all of the stories about parents going hungry and children going hungry, and just the unfair treatment all around, and how different wages are affecting different people when they could be single parents, they could just need to get out of somewhere that's really not good for them, whether it's abusive or just something. It all needs to change, no matter the circumstance for these people.
And Amber, we just talked about change there, and you know, you're 14, yeah. You've grown up as an LGBTQIA plus person, mm-hmm. as well. How hard is it going to be to make real change, do you think? And do you feel that as young people, you have got enough of a voice and enough of an opportunity to make a change?
I feel like we can do it. We can make a change and work together. But I feel like the main issue, which we'll struggle with that, because the government, they don't want to listen, because they're so involved in gaining stuff for themselves and providing for themselves, because they grew up with mostly comfortable lives. And despite Rishi complaining that he did not have Sky TV, mm-hmm. Been claiming that was a massive issue, which it is not, they lived majoritively comfortable lives with like things that they could manage with, and they didn't really have the struggles of some of us we do, like, you know, with cost of living and like all this other stuff that's going on. And so all they're trying to do is benefit themselves, and since they're not willing to listen properly, no matter how hard we try, if they're not going to be willing to listen, change will never happen unless we take dramatic action. But we know the second we take dramatic action, it'll all be painted against us, being like, oh, the youth's messed up, the youth is corrupted. Which, no, like, not all of us are. And it's like, if you're not going to listen, we're going to have to take action to the extent. I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, cause a riot, because that's stupid. But, like, I feel like the government needs to be more aware of the situation that we're all in. Because it's actually disgusting.
And do you feel like politicians, you know, your local MPs that all sit in the Houses of Parliament in Westminster, do you think they understand you as young people here in the North East right now?
Absolutely not, no.
I feel like they do try to, because they do encourage communication from young people in like primary schools and secondary schools. And when the young people do communicate, it's hard for people to listen because they are so young and they don't feel like these people know what they're talking about. But I feel like our MP, like Bridget Phillipson, I think she's quite good. I know people reach out to her and they do try to understand you. They just have a hard time because they're not in your shoes. But I feel like the lack of communication between everyone and the MPs and just everyone in general, you're not really seen or heard by these people because of just the gap.
And do you feel like, you know, most MPs tend to be older, they tend to be from a different generation. Do you feel like they fully understand LGBTQIA plus people and identities and all of that sort of stuff in 2024?
See, I personally don't think so. Like, for example, I was looking at the media and a while ago there was Rishi Sunak, who had made, you know, a transphobic comment while I think her name was Brianna Jai.
Oh, I thought that was disgusting. Yes.
you know, made a transphobic comment while her mother was in the room. And, you know, Breonna Joy, unfortunately, she did die.
She was murdered, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was murdered. And I just think that's absolutely disrespectful. And, you know, there needs to be more respect for us, not only because Breonna Joy was murdered, but also just respect in, like, any way, because at the moment we're not getting that respect.
And do you feel like if they're, you know, they're creating laws that directly affect you as young people, but especially you as LGBTQIA young people, do you feel like they fully understand your situation?
I don't feel like they fully understand the circumstances that some people are in that are from the community and that are young people. And the fact that we don't really get a say in it unless we bring it to, like, our MP, it's not being heard properly. The concerns aren't dealt with.
And what do you think we need to do to get them to listen? You mentioned they're taking more drastic action. Obviously, we're not condoning starting a riot, just put that out there. But what do you think you can do as a young person right now to kind of get them to listen and get them to understand a bit better?
Maybe more like this, like podcasts, or like maybe petitions and stuff. Because, like, petitions do get lots of attention, especially if there's lots of people who have signed it. Or, like, maybe just, like, a peaceful protest. Not, like, full-blown, like, and stuff like that was the weirdest way to describe it. But you know what I mean? Like, proper going at it. Just, like, peaceful, just walking in a certain area, like, projecting how you feel and what you want changed. And then, hopefully, they might wake up and realise, yeah, we need to do something, and life will be all cupcakes and rainbows.
Also, possibly, I know that a few young people that are a part of the, like, political parties, they can vote younger than 18. I think it's, like, 16 or something. If they're 16 and in these political parties, like, a part of it, they can vote. So I feel like that since they're our generation, we should be able to voice to them, and it might be good more to communicate with them than the older generation to try and, like, get these issues across, because they have a say in Parliament.
And is there anything at the moment that you feel like politicians aren't paying attention to that they really should be paying attention to?
Financial circumstances.
I think there's, like, a variety of things. Financial, obviously, and I think, you know, I was just thinking about the whole national service thing that they're introducing.
You get me started on national service.
The fact that it's, you know, going to be required for people who turn 18. You know, I'm going into college soon, and I will have, like, a 4-day timetable, and I'm also looking for a job on the side. You know, if I do national service, how am I going to get a job? How am I going to get my money? You know, it's all voluntary stuff, and sometimes, you know, in some cases they will pay you, but in some cases they won't. And if I'm not getting paid, what am I supposed to do for money?
And do you think you should be forced to do something because the government have decided that all young people should have to do it?
No, I think it should be optional. You know, if you wanted to do that, you can very well do so, but it should be always optional. You know, if you're not in the place to do that, like you don't have the money for it, you need to get a job, then you should be able to have the choice to do that.
It shouldn't be mandatory for young people to have to do it. I mean, if they're making this mandatory, what stopped them from making, like, the first Public Health Act mandatory, like, ages ago? Like, they pick and choose what they think is important and then make that, like, mandatory, when it just shouldn't be. It should be voluntary, national service, and it's not.
Yeah, because, like, I know, because national service used to be a thing, like, years ago, and it was mandatory. But, like, you know, times have changed now. They got rid of it, and they can't now just expect everyone to do it without, like, pre-warning, if that makes sense. Like, they can't just throw it in our faces, like, right, here you go, off you go to national service, without properly thinking it through. Because they can't just make an idea, oh, we'll bring back national service, without properly thinking it through. Stuff like this takes time and consideration, because the last time UK, like, Britain in itself decided to just quickly think of something was, like, the partitioning of India and Pakistan, where basically they just took someone random, I think he was a judge, and just went, right, section the areas, and he just drew two lines on the map without even visiting. And that caused a whole bunch of issues. There was about 1 million, I think it was, Indians who were murdered in all these riots, and it was absolutely disgusting. And that's what happened last time. They hadn't thought something through properly. What's going to happen now in this day and age with all the media and stuff?
And let's kind of touch on that point then, because, you know, over the last few years, probably from the Brexit referendum onwards, you know, 2016 onwards, politics has been quite toxic. You know, it's kind of been very divisive. You're either this or you're that. And it's caused, you know, divides within even families. You know what I mean? Some families, half the family voted to leave the EU, half the family voted to stay in the EU. And since then, you know, there's been a lot of controversies and, you know, a lot of, you know, politicians not behaving in the best way, for example, and kind of lying and taking us for granted a little bit. So, like, are you worried that the kind of discussing politics is starting to become a bit toxic? And do you ever, like, hold back from discussing political things with either your family or your friends because you're scared that it's going to cause an argument or they're going to fall out with you or whatever? Or do you think it's important to continue to talk about politics?
I am extremely, like, worried about it because I feel like from... like, even a few years back, it was more acceptable to talk about politics and have different opinions, but now it's a really touchy subject. And with all the corruption within politics, we're basically devolving back to, like, Norman England, when, like, the churches were corrupt and you couldn't have a say in something because you would be punished for it, whether that be by your families or the government themselves. Like, you can't have that personal opinion in politics without being judged by at least someone.
I think especially as well, the fact that, like, there's a lot of parties out there that you could vote for, but there's, like, two, as my dad would say, two big evils, the Conservatives and the Labour. And that's the only thing that people really know. They only really know them two parties. You know, there's some of the smaller parties that have really good policies, in my opinion, but people aren't taking acknowledgement of that because they only really know about these two bigger ones that have run the country for years. We need to take more acknowledgement of the others and, you know, if they have a policy that someone agrees with, switch and vote for them.
And a lot of politicians have started using kind of the culture wars to try and, you know, rally up their base. You know, they've started to try and rally against wokeness. And part of that is kind of starting to try and get people angry about LGBTQIA plus people and gender identity and transgender people in particular. So, like, how worried are you in terms of... The kind of political landscape kind of becoming so toxic because it's focusing on these quite divisive issues and turning them into a debate when we shouldn't really be debating someone's, you know, right to live as their true identity?
It's quite disgusting because these are the people who run our country, they make our laws, and if they're out here, like, essentially, in the sense, mocking a person for who they identify as, it's like, it's just sickening because we've let these people be in charge of our country and, like, guide us, in the sense, through, like, laws and stuff. And they're sitting here acting like children, like acting like toddlers on a playground. And it's like, we can't trust people like that to run our country if they're going to sit here, like, just sit down and just, like, in the sense, take to the internet, because it's funny as it is, I've actually seen Labour on TikTok mocking Rishi Sunak and the Conservative Party over national service in Sky TV. And it's like, it's fighting fire with fire, which isn't working, because then if you do something, then the other party will retaliate, and then you'll have to retaliate, and it'll become this whole thing, and everyone's just sitting in the middle of it like, what do we do?
Yeah, we've seen this over and over in history. Like, it's never ended well to target a specific group of people and just basically hate on them and not see them for who they are and see their worth, because there has been wars about this, there has been debates about this, mass genocides in places like Congo and within the Jewish community, and even the gay community itself has been through this because of political parties not taking into account their human features, that they are humans, are people.
And do you folks feel more grown up than most politicians at the moment?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, us as a group, you know, we work with a group called Cosmic Epiphany, and us as a group, we talk about a lot of these issues, which a lot of the government just wants to debate. Like, I mean, I've just started to search up. This is a bit of a touchy subject, but 82% of transgender individuals have considered suicide. And, you know...
82%?
Yeah.
God, that's massive.
And the fact that it's a debate of the life that people are just thinking, you know, is it right for me to even live? You know, it shouldn't be a debate for people's right to live. It should be, you know, let them live who they want to be.
I think that is a fantastic point to make at the end of the episode there as well, because we shouldn't be debating someone's right to live, and right to live authentically as to who they are. And I think it's very interesting that you've all sat here today and basically said you feel like you are more grown up you know, you're not going to act as childish as some of the people that are actually supposed to be running the country.
I wake a day up. But we're gonna do it better.
We do it way better.
I'd vote for you. So on that note, let's I'm gonna go around the table for one last point here. Is, you know, are you optimistic for your generation's opportunity to get involved in politics and really make a change going forward?
I'm mildly optimistic. I feel like we can do it. But I feel like with what's happening now, it'll take lots of hard work and like effort and like determination, but I feel like with enough like province in the sense like work, we'll be able to do it.
Yeah, I feel like this is like less corruption, and the young people that are trying to go into like political parties are saying the struggles and aren't like the older generation that are already doing it. I do feel quite optimistic that some young person out there one day is going to be prime minister and see these issues and make the country better.
I agree with all that. You know, the moment we stop having people of the same generation running this country is the moment we can actually make things better for ourselves, make things better for us, but also, you know, the other people that face these issues.
Brilliant. And on that note, that brings this episode to a close. Thank you very much for joining me, my esteemed panellists. It's been really interesting to hear that you're also passionate about the kind of political landscape, really, and most importantly, passionate about making a change. Thank you very much.
Our Voice, proudly supported and funded by Northumbria Police and Crime Commissioner.